way we planned it. It's beautiful. It's simple. It's adequate. It's practical. It's nothing flourish. We're not here to outdo the next door neighbors. We're here to have a place to meet and praise the Lord Jesus Christ and bring people in and show them the way of salvation. And this does it. And just looks beautiful. I know as more than any of the other missionaries maybe how much work it took to finish it. We thought we did a lot of work when we built the shell, but that's just the beginning. It's a small part and a fraction as it takes to finish the inside. You did a good job. I'm proud of you. We just moved out of León to Aguascalientes. You haven't heard from us a couple months. We've been buried in this bottom of this rubble of adobe. We've got an old adobe house and we're trying to do a lot of things. If you live in a glass house, you don't throw rocks. If you live in adobe, you don't throw water. Because it just all, it all runs down. It's just, but we've had quite a challenge, but we're about ready to go now. We got a nice place to live, lots of room for the kids to run and a place to have their friends over. Those of you that are teenagers know that you don't have just one teenager in the house. You end up with the whole neighborhood and all that sort of thing, and that's what it kind of came to in León, and so we're trying to have a place for them, and I don't know if you realize it or not, but the families of the missionaries are more important sometimes than the missionary himself. My family has done a lot for León. Well, that's another time, but I appreciate my family and what they've done. Tonight I want to talk to you about some things that begin to bother me in my personal Christian life. I'm not blessed with a lot of the gifts that religion puts on the centerpiece. They talk about Brother Dale and Brent and I and Brother Schreiner getting together and singing a quartet. It'd be how we'd test the emergency exit system of this building. And the spiritual ones in religion are the ones that sing pretty so many times. It's what these talents that God gives a man, and they say this is spirituality because he's been given a talent. I don't know. It begins to bother some. I get choked up over things. I want to talk about my family, and I can't. A good preacher don't get choked up, you know? Yeah. That's spirituality. And I begin to wonder, am I a spiritual man or am I just pretending and they are spiritual men? What is it that makes a man spiritual? Is it that he can sing pretty or he can talk elegant? There's three groups of people, of religions, we run across down in Mexico on a regular basis. And you can spot them a mile away. Each one's got their characteristic. You got the Jehovah Witnesses. And everyone's got a longer arm than the other one. It's real obvious. It comes from carrying a box of books. They're around selling their books on the street. Every Sunday you can see them. I guess that's your spiritual sign. I can see them. You got the Mormons, and there's always two of them. They got a white shirt, a black tie, and a bicycle. I guess that's their spiritual sign. The Catholics, priests, I can spot them coming and going. Now, Brent and I, he's not here, but we went to look for this guy. He had an appointment to talk with him. We went to this Catholic church, and we knocked on their office door, and his aide come out, and he said, he's not here. He'll be back in a little bit. Well, we got something else to do. We'll be back. So we was going out, we passed the guy going the other way, and I said, they just had on regular clothes, and I said, that's a priest, man. No, oh, how do you know? I said, it is. We went down, did our business, come back, and the guy still wasn't there, and so Brent says, well, I gotta go, let's leave. We turned around, and here come this same man. I said, Brent, there's the priest. He says, no, he's not. I said, well, ask him where he is, maybe he'll know. So he says, I'm looking for Gonzalez, or I don't know, whoever he asked for, and he says, I'm him. Brent looked at me and said, how do you know that? I said, I'll tell you. But they've got this walk. And I noticed it was outside this cemetery. We went to pass out these tracks one time in this town, and they kicked us out of this town. So we went outside of town and just pulled over the best spot where all these pilgrims? No. They're walking to San Juan to bow down before this image and commit idolatry. And so they don't realize that. That's why we was passing out the tracks. But we just pulled over by accident in front of the seminary outside of town where all these young men are studying to be priests. And they're interested to see what we're doing, and they're coming across the street, and the more time that they had spent in the college, the more piously they walked. the young kids, they run across the street, the ones that just gotten there. But the older ones, the ones that we talked to, they'd had 7-8 years training, they wouldn't run. They waited till the traffic cleared, and I could tell he was a priest by the way he walked. Now, we can tell Baptist spiritual men, they all wear suits and ties, don't they, brother? Huh? Hey? Amen? And how do you tell an old... How do you identify an Oak Knoll?
You need to wear a black
coat. How do you tell if someone at Oak Knoll is spiritual? They give them a key clip, brother. Huh? Every missionary out of this church has got a key clip, except Brother Dale, and he can't find his keys, so... We got our marks, don't we? Religion has made a standard of spirituality. I don't fit it. I'm not in it. Does that mean I'm not spiritual? Or is the rules wrong? Some of you got the wrong regulations. I'd like you to look with me in 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's look at a man, a couple men, Elijah and Elisha. I would say they're spiritual men. I didn't say perfect. Spiritual. Godly. Chapter 2, before this you find Elijah moping and groaning in a cave, running from a woman. After defeating the enemies of God with great power, he runs from a woman, hides in a cave, and he's moping because he's all alone. He had some problems, but he's a spiritual man. God caught him up in a chariot of fire. He's a godly man. I think we can learn something from what Elijah did. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's read verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they went over on dry ground. So they too went over on dry ground. First thing I see in this verse is that Elijah took his mantle. What's the mantle that Elijah took? I think it's the Word of God. It's a new coating. It's a new covering. It's a new warmth. It's a new shield. A spiritual man of God will always take the mantle, which is the Word of God. You got a lot of people around saying they love God. They don't have the mantle. We talk to Catholics, thousands of them down there, and they say they love the Bible. They love the Bible. Well, bring out your Bible. Oh, I don't have one. I don't even have the Bible. Well, you surely know some verses. Let me quote you a couple of verses. I've never heard that. That's not my Bible. You said you didn't have a Bible. Well, if I had a Bible, it wouldn't be in it. People don't have the Word of God. They don't even know where to find it and what it is. They can't be spiritual. A spiritual man has the Word of God, knows where it is, and there's something else that says about that mantle. It says he wrapped it together. You've got men and women, they've got the Bible, but they don't wrap it all together. They don't take it as a whole. They pull out a sleeve. Huh? You get some pet doctrine, and you beat people to death with it, trying to part the waters. You're not going to get in your water parted beating it with a sleeve. You take out one page, and you can preach any heresy you want to find. You can preach every heresy that's being preached out of the Bible. It's where most of them come from. Because they don't take it in context. They don't take it as a whole. They don't wrap the thing together and say, I've got the power of God because I know the mind of God on the issues. It takes a balance. It takes knowing what God's trying to say in each instance and put it together. Taking the Word of God and taking it all. We've got so many down there, we hear it 1,000 times a day till we want to scream. It's catechin. You've got your religion, I've got mine. They've got a few verses, and you're just taking yours out of convenience. It's more convenient for you to read about where God says every man's a sinner. Well, why don't you read it? It's so convenient. Well, I don't like it. I don't want God to tell me that. Don't take the whole counsel of God. They don't like us telling them that Jesus Christ is the only mediator. They like to think that there's some man can take the place of God. The stealers of God. They don't want to take the whole counsel of God. They stay out of Hebrews. They're priests. Their priest is dead. This book is antique. This is talking about somebody else. This says all men. It says all priests can't take away. There's not one, any priest. I'm mixing up in Spanish. Todos los sacerdotes no pueden quitar su pecado. Huh? They don't want to take that verse. And so they pull out the pages they like. They beat you with it. Trying to part some waters. You're not going to part no water in anybody's heart until you've got the word right. Until you've taken the whole thing. Things are going to apply to us that we aren't going to like. If you can say you can read the Bible and it's just all so beautiful and wonderful and it's just the way you believe and just how it just fits you so well, you're not reading it right. God's not talking sweet about mankind. I'm sorry. He's talking about sinners that need to repent and take God's way.
Amen.
Take some humility and some subjection. And that only comes when you're willing to take the whole Word of God. We could name off a lot of groups that take just what they like. You got the Pentecostals, you got this and that, and they get on a bandwagon, and this is the only way to go and forget the whole, get the whole picture. But let's apply it to ourselves a little bit. We're no different. Like Brent talked about, what was his statement? Like passions, like sins, nothing is uncommon. We're all the same. We need to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we're not pulling a sleeve off of the Bible and beating the waters and saying, why doesn't the water open? Why isn't there dry ground? Lord doesn't have any power. Maybe you got the wrong sleeve. Maybe you ought to tuck that thing in and pull the whole works out and understand what you're talking about. God will give you the power to open some waters. Another thing here says he smote the waters. It's a real problem. There are a lot of Christians that know about dispensationalism. They know how to divide the word. They aren't smiting anything. They don't want to make any waves. You smite the water, you're going to make a wave. When Elijah smote the water, he made two big waves and they run in opposite directions. You got all the people, all these Christians in the world talking love, love. Jesus came with a sword to divide asunder. You say, but man, it makes it so hard, so rough. I mean, it's so much easier to preach this love gospel. You tried walking on water? Try treading water for across the Jordan River. Elijah walked across on dry ground in peace because he made one stand. He did one time, says, this is where I'm going to walk. With the power of God, he opened the waters and walked through. In your life, you're struggling in your families. Man, my folks, they just are fighting me. They can't understand why I'm taking me and my family to church and we're always having this hassle. They always want me to bring my family over for a all day Sunday. They don't understand and so I'm compromising. I don't want to get them mad. Make the stand. Folks, me and my family will be in church Sunday morning. And at 12:30, if Lyndall ever quits preaching, or 1 o'clock, whenever it is, I'll come over.
Amen.
Make a stand.
Amen.
You walk on dry ground.
Amen.
They will they'll either respect you or say, don't bother coming.
Yeah.
Either way, you're on dry ground.
Amen.
Yeah. What's important to you? You need to do some striking. In Mexico, we've done a lot of striking. We have, without a doubt, let that town of León, Guanajuato know what the Bible says about their religion. That is a clear, definite line. We don't have to act like we're treading on water before anybody. Before they meet, before they really know who we are, we just let them know we're the ones that meet in the park or we preach downtown. And the water's divided. We're on dry ground. We know right where we stand. And they know where we stand. It's peace. It's not treading water. I like crossing the Jordan without getting my feet wet. I never did like having my feet wet. I always carried a pair of boots in the truck. Everybody else comes to the project. It's raining. They know it's going to be muddy. And they show up in tennis shoes with holes in them and wonder why their feet get all wrinkled. And I carry a pair of boots just to get from my truck to the slab where it's dry. Don't like my feet wet. That's why I want to strike some waters with the full power of God. I want to walk in some dry ground.
Amen.
And you don't like the problems you have in doing the striking, it'll be a whole lot easier if you did. You won't have to fight it. You won't have to swim. You can walk on dry ground. Said he separated some waters hither and thither. Too many people say, well, I'm just going to crack it a little bit. I ain't going to do a big job here. Just needs to be once and for all. This is where I stand and I won't change. Hither and thither. Both sides, a nice wide avenue. They'll give you some room.
Amen.
They might give you all, might never come back. Might be the end of a relationship. But if they don't respect you, you surely aren't gonna win them. You take the mantle, you gotta wrap it up, you gotta smite and divide the waters. And number four comes real tough. I know that here in Oak Knoll, we talk to a different group of Christians than you do in most places. Here you've done these three things pretty much. You're a separate crowd. You're peculiar, I guess the word of God calls you. You're peculiar people. But we still all have the problem that you see in verse 12. It says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father,
the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Our pride gets in our way, and we want to be somebody covered with our own ambitions, we want to receive our glory. I've talked about this here a lot of times because I guess it's my biggest problem. We want to have our own recognition, our own type of clothing. Elisha knew that when he was going to take on the power of God in a double portion, he couldn't be himself. He had to die to self. That's a problem we have every day. You can die to self today and tomorrow you find yourself wide awake, alive and well, fighting the will of God, striving for your own position, for your own recognition in things that are so petty and unimportant. You folks that went through a building program that would, in normal situations, divide a church in 14 different ways. You couldn't pull the nails out and give one to every way that people would go. It's tough because everybody that does a little something wants the recognition. You want the pat on the back. You got to rent your clothes. You got to die to self. You got to say, Lord, what you want is what I want, and I'm no longer here. I think that's what this is saying to us. Elisha knew, and he rent his clothes. He said he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the River Jordan. You can't take up the power of God until you do die to self. Self is the problem the Lord has with us. He has designed it where we take ourselves out of the way to be used in Him. He'll take us out of the way to let someone else be used. Huh? You're going to be stiff-necked and say, no, Lord, I'm going to get my recognition. Well, He'll just take you out of the way and use somebody else that's willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me in a humble, contrite spirit. Another thing we see a spiritual man will do is he encourages the brethren. Encourages the brethren. He edifies them. He builds them up. You've got these spiritual gurus, Guru Gomez and Holy Joe and all these guys sitting on a mountain and they're saying, look at me, I'm a spiritual person. Come and mimic me. And they're discouraging people because they're putting on a false image that they themselves really aren't. And people can't follow it and they get discouraged. That's not a spiritual person. Spiritual person can be just anybody that encourages another brother or sister. I don't know if you remember, I got up and said a few things over in your church one night, Brother Joe. And there's a little girl that's not much bigger than Kelly, I guess. There's a little girl. After the meeting, she come up there and there's a lot of people around, you know, and she just kind of patiently waited her turn. And finally, I turned around and there she was and she said, Brother Mike, I didn't get to go to church this morning, but I had my missionary offering. She gave me, I don't know, 30, 35 or 36 cents or something like that. Very spiritual lady. 10, 11 years old, encouraging the brother. We know people, I know people, who've been drug out of the service of God, thinking they're not spiritual because they aren't keeping up with the ideas of religion. They can't sing. They don't preach real elegant. Huh? They haven't had 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary. What's a spiritual man? His degree? We got priests down there with more education, all of you put together. And they're leading men to hell. Education is what makes a man spiritual. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't. Just an old carpenter like me. You want to be a spiritual person? Just try and encourage some brethren to edify them. Not to build up yourself. It hurts. See men taking all the work of God because they can't comply with the rules that come down from above. I got discouraged. To some extent, where do I fit in this thing? I get discouraged and think about, what can I do? What is my talent? I can build things. So rather than preach the gospel to these lost and dying ones down there that are being led to hell by unspiritual men claiming to be spiritual men, I'll look for some place that needs a little building built or something, and I'll pack a few tools, run up there for a couple months, and throw the thing together, putting on my old set of clothes again, to do what I do naturally, rather than what men need. We need to encourage the brethren spiritually. Amen. Now, what does it take to encourage someone spiritually? I see it doing something physically, helping them in a physical manner. We don't do spiritual works in the sense of the Lord Jesus, and the example I have is carnal, is physical. the way we express ourselves in a spiritual manner is a physical word. It's a helping hand when they're down, when they need help. It was a spiritual encouragement the other day when I was a little discouraged. I didn't know what to do with this car. Brother Joey comes over, climbs up and sits down inside that motor and starts tearing it apart. I was encouraged. Encouraged my spirit. He may have thought he's getting greasy, but he was applying something to my spirit with his physical work. Not for himself in any means. I ain't charging for the grease he took home under his fingernails. We need to look for a place that we can serve the Lord. The men of God and the Word of God are there because they did something physical that uplifted spiritually another brother. You think, well, I'm just a lady. I can't do that. One of the biggest spiritual works in León, Guanajuato were done by the women. They started a prayer meeting with the women, and that is the strongest part of the church in León, Guanajuato. There's 10, 11 women there that pray every week. They're shaking the thrones of the pillars of heaven. They're reaching out to God and saying, God, you bless this place.
Amen.
More prayer has gone out for the church in León by the women than by any other group. You say, I'm a little girl. I'll never forget that girl that gave me 35 cents. Never will, brother. You got people there that want to give and touch out and reach people. Another aspect that I just wanted to touch on, a sign of a spiritual man, spiritual woman, is they provoke the enemy. If you're doing the will of God, you'll provoke the enemies of God. If you're not provoking the enemies of God, you're not probably, you're not in a spiritual work. You're not touching on the where you ought to be at. We talked to he's having trouble downtown, provoking the enemies of God. And this guy come up, so-called brother, and he says, I need to talk to you guys. You know, let's tomorrow come by the office. I'm a federalist. That's big. What is that called in judicialis? What's that in
Mafia.
No, this is the police force. Come on. Give him a break. Anyway, we went down to their offices, and he was telling us, you know, you guys are pretty bold, you're pretty brave, but I was a Christian. And for 5 years, I preached in the streets, brother. He's a young guy telling us he's a sage. He says, 5 years, I preached in the streets. I never once had anybody throw a stone at me, get mad at me. Well, that's pretty interesting. And he says, yeah, we were a Christian rock group, and we sang Christian rock songs in the street. And not once in 5 years did anyone ever get upset with us. And I said, sir, I did not call him brother. I said, you probably weren't preaching the same message Jesus was. They killed him for what he said. They killed Stephen for what he said. He thought for a minute and he says, you might have a point there. When you do the will of God, when you're a spiritual person, you will provoke the enemies of God. You think you got a problem? You think it's getting tough? I mean, for every side Satan's attacking you? Praise God. You're doing a spiritual work. You're a spiritual person. This helped me a lot. I may be 400 miles off base, but I think I'm doing a spiritual work.
Amen.
I know this place is doing a spiritual work. There's times in here when you're discouraged, you say, but I don't match up to the status quo. You don't have to. You encourage some brother. You take the whole word of God, you smite some waters, you divide the thing, you say, this is the line I stand on. And you enter into the work. Get involved. Do something. Spiritual work is done by physical people, by you and me, doing physical things to encourage brothers and sisters that build their spirits.
Amen.